Today on the Bill Kelly Show on 900 CHML.
On the morning after Election Day here in the province of Ontario, and on this program, we will meet both Bay Area mayors, one new one, one has been re-elected, and, an awful lot of controversy, but we broadcast, of course, live from Hamilton City Hall with the results here on 900 CHML last night, and it was pretty obvious when we saw the numbers who was going to win the mayor's race, and also pretty obvious when the mayor showed up at City Hall. Hamilton Mayor Fred Eisenberger re-elected for another four-year term on a very, very different kind of council. We're going to talk about that in just a couple of seconds, and we're pleased to welcome Hamilton Mayor Fred Eisenberger to the Bill Kelly Show on CHML. Mr. Mayor, thanks so much for this. It's the morning after, and did you sleep well last night?
Like a baby, Bill. I woke up kicking and screaming every 2 hours. No, I had a great sleep last night. You know, last night was one of those memorable moments. You know, election night is kind of one of those anxiety-filled moments for everybody, especially those that aren't the candidate, family and others. And it was certainly a very pleasant evening last night to be vindicated for, I think, 4 years of good work and a message that was, beyond just one issue.
Well, let's talk about some of those issues. But before we get to that, Mr. Mayor, I want to talk about the composition of council. We didn't have a whole lot of time last night when you joined us at the City Hall broadcast. This is a much different city council for a whole lot of different reasons. Some new faces, some new attitudes, and some new perspectives.
Well, not only that, and seven women. So that's that's a positive step in the right direction. And, we've got lots of talent to work from. We've got some seasoned veterans there, of course, and some new faces that are eager and anxious and are going to bring some new thoughts and ideas to this council and to this city. And I think that's a wonderful thing. I think I've always advocated for turnover. We can often stay too long. You need to get out into the private sector and find out what's going on in the real world and then bring that back to the city. So we've got some great talent coming forward. J.P. Danko up on the mountain, an engineer that is clearly an LRT supporter for all the right reasons, but also has a lot of passion for how do we continue to build our city. Narinder Nan, is a great candidate, a minority, and certainly a woman that will bring a very good perspective, I think, to our council, and hopefully we can get them placed in areas where they're going to have a great impact. I don't want to forget the others, but all the names don't come to mind right now.
Well, Maureen Wilson, obviously in Ward 1, and you look at some of the other folks that are coming in. Of course, a lot of new voices and new faces, but people that in many circumstances, anyway, Mr. Mayor, not new to the political process. I mean, they've been around at least during campaigns. Some of them have run for public office before, so they know the ropes.
Yeah, I think Maureen is super smart, super talented. Has been engaged in the process, not directly, but over the last 10 years or so, just being an advocate for good public policy. And previous to that, worked in Mayor Wade's office and Terry Cook's office for a time, and of course, ultimately married the good Terry Cook, who I know well, and I'm sure had an anxious night last night as well, and was just super excited about the prospect of his good wife, becoming a member of council. Lots of talent, lots of experience. I think everyone brings a certain know-how to the process, and of course, having some veterans back is a kind of a stabilizing effect as well. And you know what? Nice to see that we're also kind of building on the momentum of the last 4 years. We've done some great things as a council collectively, and we've got great things to build on, and I think all of the new members and the existing ones have a very, very positive foundation to work from.
Mr. Mayor, some of those veterans, or those returning veterans, had some less than complimentary things to say about you and your leadership abilities. Obviously, it was circled around the LRT issue. But things got a little testy there from time to time during the campaign. How can you put this behind you and try to start with a clean slate, or can you?
Politics can afford the strange bedfellows from time to time, and a number of those candidates have flip-flopped on the LRT issue on many occasions. All of them, quite frankly, unanimously supported going after LRT. and supported a whole series of votes that actually advanced the entire project. And then up until recently, got cold feet. I think they were looking after their own self-interest, and I'm hoping that they hear the message from the constituents, the citizens out there, loud and clear, that the majority of the members of the citizens in our community support moving forward on LRT. You know, I got an enormous amount of votes, probably the highest vote count in recent memory. And I don't take that as a personal victory. I take that as a victory for the city and for the vision that we've been putting forward that says we can build this. It's going to be a positive impact for the city. It's not going to raise our taxes. It's going to generate revenue. It's going to create employment, all the good things that we needed to do. So I'm counting on all of our councillors to hear the message and to reflect on that and come to the table with a positive approach to getting this thing done.
Well, and that mandate that you talked about last night obviously is from the voters themselves, but you do know that, again, some of these returnees on City Council, and including Brad Clark, who's back on council, of course, now, are digging their heels in and opposed to this. Now, I don't know what next steps are going to be at this stage. We're never going to get unanimous support for this, just like we never had unanimous support for the expressway or for any of the other major projects. That's happened. I think that's a political reality that you and I have talked about. But how do you sway some of these people that are vacillating right now that seem to support it, then they backed away? You've got to get them back in the camp, because the numbers right now, if there ever was a vote on this new council, you've only got six solid supporters right now, and I don't know where the other ones. We know where some of them are, but there's some that are in the middle right now.
Well, and I think the some that are in the middle are going to be onside ultimately. Again, they can read the tea leaves. I don't think they want to be offside with the rest of their community. I suspect that in many of the wards that they ran in, I may very well have gotten more votes than they did, and I think that's a pretty key indicator of where the community at large is. And so I'm counting on them to stay the course. And you know, I know that give credit to Chad Collins. He started off as being one of the only ones that was opposed. From the very beginning, but certainly as close to the beginning. And he was actually quite chagrined that other people were coming on board. And, when we had to deal with the environmental assessment, that last hurdle that we crossed before we get to the operating agreement, he actually changed his vote and said, we're too far along in here. We need to keep this thing moving. And so I'm hoping that good, solid, experienced voices like him understand what the mood of the public is right now, and that he will stay with the program and get this thing done.
We saw that, and I know you saw that on the old council when the expressway debate was still heated up. It got to the point where I think there was probably expressway fatigue, and even some of the people on council at that time, Mr. Mayor, that were opposed to it finally just said, I'm just going to vote no. I mean, we've already talked about this. Are you anticipating that sort of reaction with some of those folks?
Well, you know what? I'm hoping they're just going to vote yes, and then let's get on with it.
Your glass is half full kind of guy.
Well, yeah, and a couple of these candidates, even through the course of this campaign, switched their tune. Started off by being fully supportive, saying we've marched along too far, and now we need to keep going, and then switch gears. So, look, I'm going to hold the province to account on this. They've said that the $1 billion is there for a transit project. They've said that whatever Hamilton Council decides is what they're going to follow through on, and I'm fully expecting that Hamilton Council is going to decide, yes, let's move forward on LRT. If not, that they're really betraying the wishes of the community at large. You know what? Folks said at the beginning of this campaign, at least one candidate said that this was a referendum on LRT. Well, we've had our referendum, and it was decisive, so let's move forward.
Let's talk about that relationship with the province, and we know that the wild card that probably has stoked the flames of discontent here was the comment by candidate Doug Ford and eventually Premier Doug Ford that says, look, you can have the money anyway, and some people are interpreting that in different ways. With the election victory last night, Mr. Mayor, and with the margin of victory that you had, is it time to sit down and have a conversation with the Premier about the direction and say, it's LRT, can we get going on this?
Well, clearly, and we've already had that conversation. I sat with the Premier, a month and a half ago, and we talked about these very issues. And he said he was committed to Hamilton's wishes, and I'll hold him to that. I'm going to go back and tell him again and let him know that Hamilton has decided as a citizenry that this is the way that they want to go, and I think it would be folly for them to go against the wishes of the city of Hamilton. So that's my message. That'll be my message going forward to the premier when I see him next, and we'll certainly be organizing a time to sit down with him and the Minister of Transport. And both of them indicated that the $1 billion is there, and if Hamilton says yes to LRT, they're going to be behind that. So I'm going to hold them to that.
There are at least one of the new councillors who seem to be opposed to this right now that mentioned to me last night that probably to reaffirm what you've just talked about, there should be an up-and-down vote on city council to either say yay or nay to this thing once and for all. Are you up for that? Do you think it's necessary?
We're going to have a vote on the operating agreement. Those that want to push this too quickly, I think are really trying to undermine this process. They need to be able to have a full understanding of what this project is about, and we have some new councillors that need to understand. And I had private conversations with a few of them that are new to this council that had previously said when they ran in another venue that they were opposed, and then came forward after I gave them a complete briefing. With our Metrolinx and LRT staff, said that they were actually in favor, and then retreated back into, my constituents don't want this. Well, I think the constituents have spoken, and I think they need to adhere to that, and I'm going to be sharing information with the new members of council that might not be, in favor, and let them know where we are, all the benefits that we're potentially are going to give up should we go another way, and everything that we will accrue if we continue to stay with this program and get all the benefits that this LRT project provides.
It's an interesting point, because when I talked to some of the new members that were elected last night, more than a couple of them suggested, look, we really need a refresher on this. I mean, the information is available, but there's been a lot of back and forth, obviously, over the last year. Do you see council getting together for a kind of a refresher to kind of bring everybody back up to speed as to where you are right now?
I see us, bringing up to speed the new members. The existing members know full well. Some of them have decided to distort the facts, and, that's unfortunate. And I hope that they stop doing that and stop kind of trying to derail this thing. And others need to be informed, and we'll do that on a one-on-one basis. And, the best way to get them informed and up to speed is to have a really direct conversation with all the staff sitting in the room. Answering all of their questions so they can be fully informed. I think the community already understands this, and that's why they voted the way they did. I think the information that we've shared with them throughout the campaign and over the last 4 years, they finally come around to saying, you know what, we get it, we want it, and let's get moving forward.
I think it's probably important to remind the voters and our listeners here, too, that at all this time during this campaign, that the rhetoric seemed to heat up again and the debate seemed to simmer once again. You never hit the pause button on this. I mean, staff are still working on this project on a daily basis.
Yeah, I mean, it's out for tender right now, Bill. This is not a project that has been undecided. It's been moving forward. Now, truthfully, this council, because it's a new term of council, could make a decision on a simple majority basis as opposed to a two-thirds majority, which was the avenue that that got us through to this point. But it is out for tender. The last step is really to finalize the operating agreement. And we know and already had information shared with us that the operating cost is in the order of some $6 to $7 million. And that the benefits in terms of additional tax revenue going forward is significantly more than that. So for all intents and purposes, it starts out as a wash and it ends up as a net overall benefit in terms of tax revenue going forward, not unlike the expressway. So you recall that, the argument against was it's nothing but a cash cow. You're not going to generate any more tax revenue and you're going to damage the environment. And, what happened was that we, in fact, got more development. Today, it costs us $7 million a year to own and operate the expressway, and it generates some $15 million a year in new taxes each and every year as a result of the development that's happened as a result. And the same thing will happen with LRT.
You mentioned last night, Mr. Mayor, that you wanted to hit the ground running with this mandate and start moving forward on a number of these files. You, of course, because of the election last night, are the head of council, the political end of things. You need a head of the administration for city staff right now, too. In other words, a city manager. How quickly are you going to tackle that problem?
Well, we'd already got our staff working on taking in applications, and we have a firm engaged and has been working for the past month or so to prepare. So we should be able to hit the ground running, later, I would say December, by the time they compile everything. And I expect by sometime in early January, by the time the interviews are done, we'll have a new city manager in place.
Lots to do, but obviously a couple of days for reflection and hopefully take down some of the election signs around town here too, Mr. Mayor. Well, you and everybody else.
Yeah, that's part of the joyful work of the aftermath of an election is we're going to get a lot of signs back, and we'll find some place to store them and thank everyone that took them in support of our campaign and all the good people that came out to vote. I respect all the candidates that step forward. Putting your name on the ballot is never an easy thing. And I congratulate them all for their effort and certainly congratulate the winners and all those that participate in the electoral process. Getting out to vote is so important, and we saw a bit of an uptick in the vote count last night, and that's a positive sign for sure.
By the way, now that the election's over, we, of course, will once again start with our mayor's town halls, and we'll start organizing that over the next little while to give our citizens, of course, an opportunity to have that one-on-one with you. Mr. Mayor, busy couple of days, I know, and lots of time for reflection and get moving on the next agenda, so we do thank you for the time today. Appreciate it.
Bill, thank you so much. Look forward to our next town hall.
You betcha. Hamilton Mayor Fred Eisenberger, thanks so much, Mr. Mayor.
The Bill Kelly Show, weekdays from 9 to noon on 900 CHML.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink. All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.